Hello and welcome to another episode of Starside Chat, a very news-packed episode. My name is Aaron, and with me as always is Zach. How's it going, Zach?
Good. Yeah, there was a lot of news that happened this last week. A lot of very interesting news.
There was a reveal that we texted about. We're like, oh man, something else is happening.
There was at least, one thing that was happening, like, every day this last week, so.
Let's dive in. What's this Variety article?
This is a little bit more of a get a load of this style thing. If you've ever listened to the Min-Max show, they always share, like, articles or stuff at the very end that's, like, interesting stuff. But there was a Variety article that came out recently that kind of talked about sort of the downfall of the MCU and, like, what's going on with them. And, like, you know, it gets into sort of why the quality control of the movies has dipped quite a bit since the Infinity Saga. And that sort of coincides with this week. The Marvels came out and is, like, trending towards a very disappointing box office for them. Like, possibly the lowest box office performance of any MCU movie thus far. So if you are into, like, cinema stuff and MCU stuff, that article, it's kind of long, but it's interesting to read because it kind of gets into sort of the stumbles they've had and what's going on. So get a load of that. It's in the show notes. You can read that article.
You know what I think another part of it is, you know, I would watch the Marvels. I'm somewhat interested in that, but I have no interest.
I'm not going to lie.
I can also just wait and watch it on Disney Plus eventually for free in my house. So
true. Yeah, I wonder how much of that is still a hangover from the pandemic where people are just like, I can wait.
I don't know. I think, yeah, because, like, it used to be appointment, you know, not an appointment television, but, like, appointment movie-ing or whatever. I don't know if there's a term for it, but you would want to go see it, like, the weekend it came out in the theater because who knows what the post-credits scene would be. They're building into a story. But now, I don't know. I feel like the story has kind of lost the thread, and I feel fine. I think the last couple Marvel movies, I've just waited until it's free on Disney Plus because I don't feel like I need to go immediately. So,
well, yes, it's not. It's no longer event TV or, like, movie
whatever
going
it is
anymore.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a term for it.
But I mean, this year has proven with, like, the whole Barbenheimer thing that people will still go out to the theater for these things. They won't just wait until, like, the at-home release. But Marvel has sort of gotten to the point where it's, like, so oversaturated and people are just, like, so superheroed out at this point that, yeah, maybe they will. If they watch it at all, they'll just wait for the Disney Plus release. But
do you know how many Marvel movies are coming out next year?
I don't know.
One.
Just one?
Just one, for whatever reason.
Like, Disney, I don't know if they just, like, overplayed their hand on all of this stuff, but, like, Star Wars is basically non-existent, and the MCU is, like, dying out, so they've really kind of overdone it with a lot of this stuff, and so, I don't know, I think people are just, like, tired of it at this point, and I don't know what the next thing is to, like,
it's Deadpool.
Sort of... Well, no, I mean, like, in terms of, like, trying to get movies to be relevant again, like, there aren't really, like, there's not movie stars anymore, basically, like, outside of Tom Cruise. Like, what's an actor that you're like, okay, whatever they do, I'm gonna go see it next? There really isn't one that I can think of, so I think that's a problem. But yeah, they've just, like, they've burnt out some of this stuff, so that's I think some of that is maybe covered in that Variety article I linked to, but they've also just, like, it's sort of a quantity over quality approach with the MCU these days. They get into that somewhat too. Like, there's been problems with, like, the CGI and some of the effects that have really fallen off over the last few years, and it gets into some of that stuff too. It's an interesting read. It's worth checking out. So, but speaking of movies, this is one that I think is exciting and will possibly be one of those like sort of cures for the ills of Hollywood these days. I think Super Mario Brothers sort of showed that as well. But they announced a live action Zelda movie is coming, which is very exciting. And we were speculating as to who would play Link. And I think the obvious name to throw out there is Spider-Man himself. Oh, what's his name that I'm currently blanking on?
Tom Holland.
Yes.
I saw someone tweeting, and I think this is true, that they will probably definitely do another direct where they reveal everybody, and it will be like probably 10 times as funny as the Mario one. The Mario one, for whatever reason, it just is, it's very funny what they decided to do, because they had the translator talking over it, and they would just cut to like a super high res black and white, like very professional looking headshot. And then the translator would be like, and this is going to be Donkey Kong. And I watched a bunch of people react to that because it was so funny. But I would assume they're going to do something similar where like, and this is your Zelda. Isn't he cool? But I'm looking forward to that. But I cannot imagine, because here's the thing about Zelda is there's so many iterations of it. Like, are we going to get a young Link? Are we going to get an adult Link? Or is it going to be based on one of the games or a fully new idea? Like, could we get a Wind Waker movie where it's all young Link? Or could we get an Ocarina of Time where it's young and old? Like, there's so many crazy directions they could go. Or they could go wholly, like, not one of the games. I mean, what are your thoughts on it? I mean,
it's true. I didn't think about it in that way, because definitely when it comes to Mario, like, there's not young Mario. I guess there's baby Mario, but like, that doesn't count. Pretty much knew sort of what to expect with that one. Whereas this, they could really go any number of different directions. So yeah, it is interesting. And it's another one where main character doesn't really talk. So like, how much talking is too much talking for Link?
That's a really good question. I wonder how they're going to handle that. I don't know. It's so curious, because you think about a Mario movie and you're like, okay, not a lot of plot going on in Mario, so they can probably just do whatever they want and figure it out. But with this, like, Zelda games are somewhat more plot driven, some, at least most of the time. There's like beats that I feel like you have to hit, but I don't really know how that translates into a movie, though. I don't know. It's so interesting to think about. Like, the guy who's making it tweeted like 14 years ago or something that he thought the next crazy, like, live action CGI Avatar-esque movie should be a Zelda movie. So maybe we'll get some crazy, like, Avatar-esque style, like, super, like, effects heavy shots or whatever. But I don't know, man. I don't know. I didn't like some stuff about the Mario movie, and I think a lazy thing that happens is they will have a property with a really rich, interesting lore and an interesting world that is in no way related to Earth, and then they'll, like, they come from New York, basically, or they go to New York.
Yeah,
I hate when that happens. And that happened in the Mario movie, and I didn't need that at all. I didn't need them to, like, be in America and then go
just
to
stay in the fantasy land.
Exactly,
basically.
Yeah. And I hope that they don't fall into that trap with this, where, like, some kid is like, man, Zelda's great. And then he, like, falls into his video game, and it becomes he's in Legend of Zelda. That's my worst-case nightmare scenario.
Which I don't know if they could do, because, like, for sure these characters are Hylian and not human. So, like, you kind of can't do that with this. Hopefully they don't make that mistake. Like, I get why they would do it in Mario, because, like, it's sort of a weird scenario where Mario, Luigi, and Peach are, like, the only humans among these, like, bizarro mushroom people.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe you can, like, justify that decision based on that, but, like, this is a different scenario altogether. But I think a lot of people were like, really, you're going live action and not animated?
Yeah,
I don't know
that's
if
also,
that's
because
a good choice. But
as far as, like, you know, synergy goes, if you ever do want to do some sort of Smash Brothers team up,
yeah,
it's going to be difficult to do it if half your characters are not
live action
animated.
And half are animated. Yeah, that's true.
So that's not very forward thinking of them, but maybe they don't even care about that. I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's very possible that that is not even on the table for them as far as the Nintendo movies are concerned. But
who would you cast? You said Tom Holland as Link.
Well, so Tom Holland, maybe I'm just thinking of him as Spider-Man, but like that type of character is the complete opposite that I could think of for Link. Link is very stoic, and like Peter Parker is very like, how would you even put it? Like,
not neurotic, but like,
but yeah, he says a lot of things.
Anxious.
And he, yeah, that kind of thing. And that is not Link at all. Now, not that Tom Holland couldn't play that if asked to, but and like, I think people threw his name out there not only because he's like, you know, in Spider-Man, so people know about him and he sort of has a face people recognize, but also he sort of has a look that you could be like, okay, I can see where you could get from point A to point
B. This is an elf.
Yeah. Just like make his ears pointy and maybe have him grow his hair out a little bit and then put him in the tunic and you're like, okay, that's Link. I get it. But so that one makes sense to me. And also like just based on the fact that Nintendo, when they cast the Mario movie, they were like, who's somebody who should be Mario? And they went with Chris San to play Mario just because he'd been in like Marvel stuff and the Lego movie. They were like, get that guy. I can see them maybe doing that for this as well. But I don't know. Who would you cast for these roles?
I don't even know. Another thing about it is like Ganondorf will probably be in this. And I wonder if they'll go... There was that whole thing where everybody really liked that Ganondorf was super hot in Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah.
So do you go for like a super jacked guy? I saw online people were saying Dave Bautista should be Ganondorf, which I think is great casting.
Yeah,
so
I was going to say, cool. I could see that happening, yeah.
But I don't know, man. I mean, I almost think maybe an unknown for Link, but I know they won't do that because I think you're right. I think they are just like, Hollywood, we're in Hollywood now, so let's get someone from Hollywood.
Yeah.
And I don't know about Zelda. I think
that is where their mind is at, but I think they could have gone with an unknown in the animated thing and been fine, but because they're doing live action now, suddenly they're like, "Oh, we need that.
We need the
star power. We need the recognizable face."
I'm so curious what the plot would be. Like if they will adapt, I mean, they could go crazy and adapt something like Majora's Mask. I don't think they're going to do that. But they have like, you know, 25 different plots, basically. I guess the first one doesn't really count because you're basically, the first Zelda is pretty low on plot. But I guess if they claimed they were adapting the first one, they could really do whatever they wanted because they could just kind of fill in the blanks. I think the most interesting one would be an Ocarina of Time story because it is set like between those two times and you get two actors to play the character. But I don't know how you do that. I feel like that's more suited for a television show because you have your child for so long and then you become an adult for so long. Then you start going back and forth.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if like Breath of the Wild is still hot in everyone's mind. So they do some sort of thing where...
Yeah, I was going to say, based on, like, sales of the recent games, and like, maybe they probably want to tie in to sort of where the games are at right now, just so that they have that familiarity, as opposed to, like, going back to our childhood and picking one of the Nintendo 64 games to sort of adapt.
Yeah. But, or Twilight Princess is another one. I don't know. It's so interesting. It's like I said earlier, it's unlike that Mario one because I could when someone says I'm making a Mario movie, I can picture like, okay, this is probably what's going to happen. It was probably pretty close. I mean, I couldn't have predicted the like Donkey Kong Rainbow Road segment, but pretty much it was a Zelda movie or a Mario movie that I got and understood and like didn't see or I saw it all coming. But with this, I just I don't know what the plan is. Supposedly they've been working on it for a long time. Miyamoto was on Twitter being like, hey, I've been working on this for a long time and we're really excited about it and I think we have a good plan going forward. So
I would bet that they probably set the ball rolling on all of these at once and they were like, let's do this movie, let's do this movie, and let's do this movie, and then they just sort of queued him up like, yeah, obviously Mario's first, but then after that we'll go Zelda. And then after that, maybe Metroid? Maybe.
That makes sense to me.
What's another one? Maybe Kirby even?
Star Fox?
Star Fox? Star Fox would be cool.
Star Fox would be interesting because that would be, if they went like, they're not going to do this, but if they went like classic 80s and everyone had like really, really good costumes as opposed to being just CGI creations.
Yeah.
Star Fox could be really cool. It, like if you can imagine like an 80s version of it.
Yeah, that would be very cool and what we want, but I don't see that being what they do. Actually, it probably would be like maybe a Luigi's Mansion or like a Donkey Kong Country type of thing.
Yeah. But, well, they are making a Donkey Kong movie.
Yeah, so that probably is one of the next up, but
that was another thing I didn't like about the Mario. My two problems with the Mario movie are they came from New York and they went back to New York, which unnecessary in my mind. And also, like, Mario and Donkey Kong never really became pals. Like, even towards the end, they were still, like, adversarial towards each other, which I was not super into. I want everyone to get along.
Well, but I kind of don't, like, within the game's universe, like, where are we at with Mario and Donkey Kong? Like, I mean, don't
they're playing
know
golf together. They're playing tennis together.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, they're a little bit competitive, probably, but they never make a point of making them either friends or enemies at this point.
Yeah,
but I guess it's true. They are like playing golf and playing board games. So who knows? Maybe
that friendly. Zelda thing was one of the announcements this week. Another one was, Jeff Keighley announced that the nominees are going to be announced on Monday for the Game Awards, so everyone can vote. But also another big announcement was Grand Theft Auto 6, which is kind of tied into Jeff Keighley, which we'll talk about. Was officially announced right before they announced it. Jason Schreier was on Twitter being like, hey, this is happening. And then they announced it. They officially said that GTA 6 is coming. They think it's the first time they've officially said that. And the trailer's coming in December, possibly early December, to mark like the 25th anniversary of Rockstar Games. And, you know, the Game Awards are in early December. So Jeff Keighley hasn't, like, sometimes he'll do like a cheeky thing where something will happen, like someone will say like, hey, we're gonna talk about this at some point, and Jeff Keighley will like retweet that with just like an eyes looking emoji, like look over the but he has not done that as far as I can tell for GTA 6. But I mean, we were talking about this before we started recording, if he didn't get the GTA 6 reveal at the Game Awards, I feel like that would be a huge bummer for him, because it's going to be massive, I would assume.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see this, but it would seem really strange to just like drop this next to the Game Awards and not during the Game Awards. I mean, maybe that will still happen, but I don't know. It just seems like if you're eyeing December for this, for sure Jeff Keighley's like, ooh,
yeah, let me give have me that. That. He's knocking at your door.
Yeah, exactly. He's immediately calling you up to.
We
say,
know
hey,
some stuff about it because there was that leak like a year ago or 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So we know it's going to be set in like modern day Vice City, which is interesting. It's like a Miami setting. And we're pretty sure that it's going to be a brother and sister protagonists type of thing. Or maybe they're a couple. I think they're maybe, I don't know if it's clear if it's their brother or brother, sister, or a couple. But it's a dual protagonist thing, much like GTA 5 was three protagonists. And it seems interesting. I've watched this a ton of times just because I like this guy. But you know that Nakey Jakey guy on YouTube?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I watched his like Rockstar Game Design is Broken video.
For
where
Red
he talked
Dead
about,
2.
Exactly. Yeah, the Red Dead one where, and he brought up a lot of really good points about how they don't let you be creative anymore. They just sort of put you on rails at points where if you think of an interesting thing to solve a puzzle, it's not necessarily going to let you do that. It's just going to say like, mission failed, do it the way we want.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if GTA 6 is an iteration on Red Dead Redemption, or if they were like, that was Red Dead Redemption, this needs to be something else. I'm curious to see. It's been a long time. I never rebought GTA 5, so I only ever played it on my 360, you know, like whatever, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Did you ever play like a modernized GTA 5 on a newer console, or did you just check it out on 360?
Yeah, I'm the same as you. Like, once I finished it on 360, that was kind of it for me. I mean, I thought about picking it up just to, because I know they added like first person mode, yeah. And so I was very curious to see what that looked like, just like running around GTA 5's world in first person. But I never did pick it up again. So
it's had a huge tail because of the multiplayer, and they've had a ton of content drops for the multiplayer version of GTA 5. So, and it's been a huge moneymaker for them. So you've got to assume when they started development on 6, they were like, well, like a multiplayer has to be a big component of this. Like, people will play the campaign, but they're going to stick around for 10 years for the multiplayer. So I'm very curious to see what that type of integration is like. I will say the two things I hate the most in Grand Theft Auto games, or at least previous ones, are running around while you're not in a car, because it always feels like weird and sluggish, or like start stop too much.
Yeah.
And also shooting has never been the best in GTA 5 specifically. It's sort of just like a weird lock-on system. And I don't know, how did you feel about the running around and shooting in Red Dead Redemption? I felt like it was still not exactly what I wanted.
It's basically the same. Yeah. It is a little bit like, cause you have to be tapping a button the whole time to run.
Yes, that was awful. I hated that.
And then, yeah, you take cover and you have to like line up your shots really carefully. You have just like a tiny little dot as your cursor, and so it's much easier to have like the auto lock on, and you basically need that to be able to shoot effectively, because the, like, I don't know, the movement and aiming controls are so sort of sluggish and cumbersome. So
do you think this one will launch with first person available?
Oh, that's a good question, actually. I can see that being like a later on add-on type of thing, but they did have it in GTA 5, so supposedly that's, you know, it within the engine, so maybe they could launch with it this time.
Here's another question, because I mean, we're so used to GTA 5, it's written so much of the language of games. Like, do you think this one has a weapon wheel, or do you think they'll pare down and you can only have like two or three weapons at a time?
I'm trying to remember how they've handled it in the past. Didn't they have a weapon wheel in Red Dead 2?
They did, yeah. But it was infuriating. There's so much of that game that's infuriating, because like, you would have to store your guns in your horse, and then if you didn't get your, like, if you got on your horse, you would like holster your long guns on your horse, and if you got off your horse, you had to remember to like weapon wheel before you got off your horse. Confusing and unnecessary, but
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like this is going to be, I mean, thank God both of us have Xboxes, because this is, I feel like, a game that needs to be played on a controller. I've never played, my brother was really into GTA 4 on PC and like the modding scene in that, but I've never played a GTA game with like mouse and keyboard, although I know a ton of people do, but this almost is as interesting to me as the Zelda movie, because I'm just like, where are they going with it? The thing I'm most interested in is the economics of it, because like, for sure they're going to have a campaign and I'm sure that'll be great, but I'm so curious now that they know that the online is just like such a big deal and it's been so successful for them with 5. I don't know like what they're going to do, but I assume the online component, the multiplayer component of 6 is going to be more front and center of like, you know, here's this campaign, but also why don't you get started? We'll give you a, like, you know, $1,000 for free and you can start your little thing going on, and then you're locked into our system for 10 years, you know?
Yeah, I almost wonder, do they do sort of a thing that has been happening in other multiplayer games where they sort of launch it standalone as free to play? And,
oh.
But you have like the main game if you want to play through the campaign.
That's interesting, actually. I actually think you might be right about that. There was speculation. Wait, wasn't there a... This is a long time ago, but wasn't when they first announced the PS5, one of the first, I think the first trailer they ever showed on PS5 was GTA 5 and it was going to be free to everyone who had a PS5. Do you remember that?
Oh,
and we were like,
yeah.
Why are they showing us like the first footage of a PS5?
Super old game. Yeah, for PS5.
So I think you probably are. I mean, because they want people to get in that ecosystem. So I could totally see them being
but
like,
also,
multiplayer's
if
free.
if you do have it standalone, then that becomes like the property that you're updating, as opposed to in 10 years we're playing GTA 6.
Yeah.
Instead we're just playing Grand Theft Auto Online.
Yeah.
You know, as its own standalone product that just sort of has some like integration with like whatever the last GTA was. But yeah, I don't know. I'm curious if that's the route they take, or if it is just, no, this is this one game and we'll do the next game later.
They've always had great trailers, and the trailers have always had a great song playing. Like, their trailers are usually, you know, start with a skyline, a great song starts, and then it's just a montage of story beats and also just like crazy things happening. The one for GTA 4 was great. And it like blew our minds because there was a bunch of stuff in GTA 4 that had never been in a GTA game before. But you got to assume they're going to license like a really good song, and it's just going to be a banger of a trailer. And I don't know if they start. I mean, I don't see a world in which Keighley didn't get this, because
for sure. Yeah.
If he didn't, he's like kicking himself. But
I mean, even if it is released separately, like it'll probably be in the show somewhere.
Yeah.
I can imagine. I also don't like, at this point, because it's been announced that this is coming, not a one more thing. This is probably pretty upfront, I would imagine.
You think it's the first thing? I wonder.
Possibly.
Keighley is great about doing that thing where he is like announcing something and you can tell he's like super excited and he's almost like, I can't believe I'm about to do this. And he'll just be like, well, guys, you know, this is it. Here it is. And he won't even say what it is. And I love when he does that. And I hope this
You've
is one of those things
for him. You've been waiting so long. Well, here it is, finally.
Famously, that Elden Ring, he was like, you could tell like he was like overjoyed, like bubbling over with joy to get to show us that. So I hope he gets, I hope for him, he at least gets this.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm looking forward to the Game Awards this year because it's been an insane year for games, and I'm very curious to see how it shakes out. I do think, I mean, we can get into that like some other time, but as far as like what's going to win and everything, but I do think there's going to be a lot of really interesting trailers.
Yeah.
And I'm very curious to see if there is like a Dragon Age 4 one, not to jump ahead in our show notes, but that's something I do anticipate being at Game Awards is Dragon Age 4. There was, this last week it was N7 Day, which always happens every year on November 7th. And there was a teaser for the next Mass Effect game.
Yeah, what'd you think about this? It was like 34 seconds long.
It's very, very short. I don't think you get a lot from it. Maybe there's more in there than we know. But the speculation is basically, if you haven't seen the little teaser, somebody is walking and
in a suit. You can't see their face.
In a suit. Yeah, you can't see their face. But very clearly, this is an N7 armor suit thing. And then they draw a pistol and they just keep walking. And that's basically all there is to it. Definitely looks like a female character. I think this is more or less the same as like when we've seen in the past with the Andromeda like promotional stuff pre-release to that. There was like a somewhat similar thing where the character that we now know as Ryder is like standing at some terminal, and then he like turns around, draws a pistol, and walks out, and he's definitely wearing the N7 armor. Which, like, the early speculation was, oh, is this character in this new N7 Day trailer, is that Liara? Which I don't think is possible if she's wearing N7 armor, because that's, like, a human, like, Systems Alliance program.
Right.
So I think not, but also, like, with that Andromeda thing that I was just talking about, Ryder was not an N7. He was not, like, a Systems Alliance guy. He was a Pathfinder, which was something completely different. And in fact, in the game, it's possible to wear N7 armor, but like some dude chews you out if you like show up to the settlement wearing that. He's like, you don't deserve to be wearing that. You're not this thing. So maybe it's still possible that you play Liara, or like maybe the offspring of Liara and Shepard.
That's interesting to me.
Which would be an Asari, but yeah, and I guess maybe because of that, it's possible you get into the N7 program. I don't know, but either way, there's a lot of speculation going around. I think it's almost not worth speculating too closely
on this 34 second video.
Yeah, on this 34 second video, but also the fact that as like Jeff Grubb brought up on like his podcast this last week, Mass Effect 4, or whatever this ends up being called, is probably a solid like 5 or 6 years away, which like who knows where they're at in terms of designing the story on this thing.
Yeah.
Given that amount of time and how a lot of these things don't really come together until very late. I'm just going to say they don't know what's happening in Mass Effect 4 yet.
Didn't they also put out some sort of like radio transmission from the Andromeda galaxy or something?
Yeah, there was something in there. Like, for sure, they're going to tie in like some stuff from Mass Effect Andromeda, which I assume to mean that like the Angarans, which is the race that they brought in to for the Mass Effect Andromeda game, that was like the new race. I feel like that race of people will be in the next Mass Effect game alongside all the others. So maybe they've like found a way to transport to wherever this new game is going to take place.
That was my question, and I have not played Andromeda, but you have. And so I guess my question is, what's the timeline? Like, isn't the whole thing of Andromeda, they were in like sleeper ships, and so this takes place like centuries after the events of, yeah. And they're also super far away from the mass relays?
Yeah, exactly. So it's possible, like, I don't know where this is going to take place. It could still take place in the original, like, galaxy. And it's, like, post whatever happened with the Reapers. But because it's so far away from that, like, timing-wise, the only character that we know that can carry forward would be someone like Liara, who's an Asari who lives for, like, 1,000 years or whatever.
Right. She'd be super old.
She would be old, so maybe she's like a matriarch at this point. I don't know. Like, the Krogans also live really long, so maybe there's a chance that some of them are around. I don't know. But
especially if they reversed the genophage.
Yeah, so that's the big question. Like, so much stuff happens in that original trilogy that you just go, what pieces do they decide is canon? Like, did the genophage get cured? What decision was made at the end of Mass Effect 3? Like, is everybody sort of half synthetic? Did the Reapers die? Like, what, there's so many like sort of sweeping, changes that would have to be made depending on
the speculation that I saw is someone was like, is Shepard going to be in this? And somebody else was like, well, in 2 out of the 3 endings of Mass Effect, he basically merges with like synthetic people and becomes immortal. So
yeah. And the one that he doesn't, supposedly he like takes a breath at the very end, indicating that he's maybe not dead. So yeah. I don't know.
Get crouched.
So it's possible one way or another that he survived.
I mean, they brought him back to life in Mass Effect 2. Basically.
Yeah, I was gonna say we know they have the technology to do that, given that although it was like the elusive man that did that, and he has like crazy resources, so I would imagine it would be like wildly expensive and hard to do, but it's possible. So yeah, I think this 30 some second trailer is just like, it's whatever the main character is all there is to it.
I think there's a video to be made about Mass Effect versus Starfield, because Starfield is a great game, but I think Mass Effect does a lot of things better than Starfield. I like very much enjoyed navigating the universe more in Mass Effect, because you had that great little star console and everything was like UI and stuff. Whereas in Starfield, it's sort of just like a bunch. I can never tell what perspective I'm getting. Like, I have to rotate the camera to look at different star systems. And I think that Mass Effect's like UI and just like generally computers are much more beautiful. But I wonder if they, I'm so curious to see whatever iteration of star travel is in Mass Effect. I mean, here's another crazy thing. What if they did only on one planet? Would be another create. Like, I wonder if they were just in a pitch meeting, like, what can we do different with this Mass Effect? We did Andromeda. These are all the different things we did. What's going to make this Mass Effect different from the first trilogy? And also, are they planning another trilogy? Or are they planning another one-off like Andromeda?
Yeah, I don't know if they would. Oh, yeah. I have real doubts that they would set it on one planet, because people, it would be outrage if you could only visit one place in a Mass Effect game.
If you didn't have a ship, yeah, that would be crazy.
Yeah, so I don't see that happening, but I almost wonder how much of, are they trying to do what Starfield did, but do it better, you know?
Interesting.
Like, try to really hit on and achieve more of that No Man's Sky thing, where you can just like space travel more freely. But maybe they learn the lesson from Starfield that like maybe 1,000 planets is too much.
Yeah. And they get to curate it a little bit.
You didn't create enough content to fill that out. Like, it's great and all that you have that, but at some point you could have limited this by like pretty significantly, and it would have felt a little bit better.
An order of magnitude. Less.
Yeah, so like maybe they learn from that lesson, because famously Andromeda, their initial sort of aspirations for that game was basically what Starfield was, where they wanted to sort of do the No Man's Sky thing of like having these procedurally generated planets that you could go to and you could explore the entire galaxy and build settlements and all of that. And they wanted to kind of try to do that, but they couldn't get the tools to work for them, because also famously they had to use the Frostbite engine and it was like not designed for what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
And so they had to like scale back on that massively over and over again until they ended up with just, instead of like an infinite universe of procedurally generated planets, they ended up with like 5 or 6 handcrafted planets, and like the tools to sort of build a settlement was like not something you could control, basically. So they had to really scale back on everything for that. So maybe they look at what worked and what didn't work about Andromeda and Starfield, and they try to like do it much better this time around.
Yeah.
So that's very possible. The other interesting note, there was like a poster, sort of a poster that they had for this teaser that showed like the character that you see in the trailer, and they have like in the middle section there, if you zoom in, it looks kind of like Afterlife, that bar that you go to in the original trilogy games. And within there you see like different people. One of them looks like Garrus, because it's not just a Turian, but he also has that little eye piece that Garrus has. So you're like, maybe that's Garrus. But then there's also, I think you see an Ungaran there. So that definitely confirms that they're planning to fold some of those, that race of people into this new game. And there's other stuff going on there. I don't remember all the things that was thrown out there by the developers. I know they said a lot of stuff on Twitter as well, because they had like a whole thing planned for that day where like they were just releasing little snippets here and there, and fans were like sort of decoding things. And then eventually that sort of led up to the big release of the full teaser. And so there's kind of a lot of speculation you can do if you kind of go through all of that. But they also, the speculation is, if you look at the poster, there's like, it almost looks like sort of a, like Paragon Renegade sort of feather type of thing. If you look at the original logo for Paragon, it kind of looks like that too. It looks kind of similar. And so that's maybe an indicator that they're bringing back the Paragon Renegade system that I think was not in Andromeda, if I recall correctly.
Oh, really? That's interesting. They got rid of it?
Yeah, I don't remember. It's been so long since I played that game. But I think maybe that was one of the things that people didn't like about it, because they removed the Paragon Renegade system.
Core tenant, I would say.
Yeah. So that is maybe confirmation that they're bringing it back, and maybe they're also sort of updating it and doing other interesting things with it. I would imagine they would hope that they could do that. So that's another element to this. But I don't think we will see anything from this at the Game Awards. I think Dragon Age, not Inquisition, Dragon Age Dreadwolf is the next one that's up. So they are definitely going to, because that game, not before, I think, what, spring or like April of next year, they said. So, but very possible that that game is, they're targeting fall next year for that game. So they're going to probably want to start, you know, getting trailers out there and get some hype going for
building it. Building the hype, yeah.
Yeah, well, and to Jeff Grubb's point, that they were talking about as far as like when to expect the next Mass Effect game, they did an initial teaser that they were working on that, you know, the one where you see Liara and she like picks up, she's in like a snowy environment or whatever. That trailer, I think, was released in like 2018, 2019. And the next, so they were like, I think maybe there was a teaser for like Dragon Age as well around then. So they're like, just given the timetable of how long Dragon Age Dreadwolf is taking, definitely we're not going to see the next Mass Effect for like another 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, maybe another console generation.
Yeah, very likely. So I don't know that it's worth getting too amped up about like the possibilities that these are implications of this teaser. But yeah, I expect maybe we'll see a Dragon Age trailer during Game Awards, but probably not a Mass Effect one.
Interesting. There's a new deck in town.
Let's talk Steam Deck. So Valve announced this last week that they are releasing an OLED Steam Deck that will have more storage capacity and possibly improvements to battery life.
And thermals, better thermals as well.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. Now, they did, I think it is like the same chipset basically. So it's the same, mostly the same power as the original Steam Deck. So this is not like a second generation. It's just like a hardware iteration of the original Steam Deck. And a Steam Deck 2 is in the works, but is likely 2 to 3 years away. So if you don't have a Steam Deck yet, the OG model is now on sale for less expensive.
Now's
or you can just go ahead and get an OLED one.
This is interesting to me. I don't think I'm going to pick one of these up just yet because I'm still liking my Xbox.
Yeah.
But it is nice that they have done this upgraded, basically Switch OLED LED model. I'm very curious to see what the 2 to 3 years away one is. I assume it'll be basically the same form factor, but probably thinner and lighter.
Yeah, but probably better battery life, you would hope. Definitely more powerful. Also, let's talk Beyond Sunset. What is this game?
This is a game I think I talked about on the podcast a couple weeks ago, maybe months ago, but it launched this week. It, I think, is originally built in the Doom engine, but it's like a little cyberpunk game where there's like platforming and just like, yeah, there's parts where you're in cyberspace where it looks really cool. The aesthetic of it is my favorite. It looks great.
Boomer
looks
shooter.
Like, exactly. Yeah. It's like a Quake or a, I mean, it's built in the Doom engine, so you can tell, but it's very cyberpunk, very like Deus Ex 1. Looks like it has interesting boss battles. I don't know how long it is. It maybe is like not a super long game, but it's on Steam now, and there's also sort of like a boomer shooter sale going on as we're recording this, and this is one of the things that's on sale. But I think it's like $6 or something, or $10, which makes me think it's maybe not super long. But I probably will pick this up at some point. I love how it looks. I am in love with how it looks. And you can get a sword at one point.
Yeah, it does look very cool.
So just on, if you're interested in stuff like Ion Fury or like Cultic and things like that, definitely take a look at Beyond Sunset because I think it's going to be right up your alley.
Yeah, I definitely like the cyberpunk sort of vaporwave like aesthetic style, and this is like definitely going for that. So
the parts, there's a couple shots in the trailer that I've posted in the show notes where you're in cyberspace and it just looks so cool. It's like super vaporwave and you just like your hand in front of you, you're shooting like orbs at giant faces and stuff. It just looks awesome to me.
Yeah,
this is something I think that could definitely come out on a Switch because it just is like so low res and whatnot. If it, I would love for it to come out on Game Pass too. Now that I have Game Pass, I would definitely play it on my TV. Yeah. But right now, it's only available on Steam.
So other stuff that's out this week, Like a Dragon Gaiden, The Man Who Erased His Name is out. I saw it on Game Pass, so I did download it, but then I played Apex. So I have not started this, but it's out and you can play it right now on Game Pass. This is not the next one in the Like a Dragon series with Ichiban. This is a return to Kiryu, but I think it ties in maybe. It's also Kiryu's supposed to be in, a shorter one.
Kiryu's in the next one, right? He's in Infinite Wealth, right?
Yeah, so not to spoil the previous Like a Dragon game, but he shows up in that game as well.
Oh, and really?
So you as Ichiban get to sort of hang out a little bit with him. But this is supposed to be, I forget which games they say it's between, but it ties in. And, so yeah, if you want kind of the full picture of the story of these, Like a Dragon games, worth checking out, especially if you have Game Pass, you can just download it. And again, it's supposed to be shorter than the other ones. The other ones are known for being fairly long. This one's supposed to be kind of a shorter, sort of appetizer heading into the next Like a Dragon game. So it looks cool. I might give this one a shot maybe over like Thanksgiving or Christmas break. So we'll see. If I can tear myself away from Apex. Generally, when I sit down to play a game these days, it's been Apex. But also that RoboCop Rogue City game came out. And it's doing all right, I think.
I think people who are into RoboCop like it. Apparently, what I've heard, I watched this one guy stream it, who is like big into 80s stuff that I use sometimes watch. And he liked it because there were some glitches that happened that he was like laughing about. But overall, I think he's having a good time playing it. And it seems like it is just kind of like a weird, interesting game. I think when we first saw the first trailer, we were like, oh man, this looks awful. Who is this for? But
yeah.
I guess they've done some fun, interesting things to it. I thought it was going to be really awful to move around because you're just like very slow as RoboCop. But I guess the level design is a nod to that because it makes it like there's like kind of cramped levels and you can kind of go around easily. But yeah, people seem to like it.
Yeah, it seems like if you're super into like RoboCop, this is one to check out for sure. But otherwise, I don't know that this is like a must play or anything like that. But let's talk about what we've been playing and watching.
Zach, we got a win in Apex.
We did. Our first win together.
You unlocked Conduit, and so you've been playing as Conduit, the new legend.
Yeah,
and you Conduit's were key very cool to our victory because there was a part we were in. We were on Broken Moon. I've come to know the names of the maps now. And we were on the Southern Promenade. And we were fighting, I think, the last team. And I had like a sliver of health and our other guy was already down. And you were about to be down, but you threw your shield thing at me. And I had just enough health to jump over the like line of fire that he threw down and kill one guy, and then there was just, it was like a 1v1 of me versus another guy, and then I got him and we won, and it was great. It felt really great.
Yeah, it was a very fun one. I do really like Conduit. She's definitely my main at this point. I don't know if it's just because she's new and it's fun to play the new thing, but also I just really like her ability to just like throw out shields when people need it. And I actually played some with her the other day in like the team deathmatch mode.
Oh,
and
yeah.
As you can imagine, you get to use that ability a lot more in that context, because you're running around a lot more, and so you get to feel like a real team player quite a bit with that. But we got close on another one as well. We came down to the second. I think we were playing with our friend Mike at that point, who's a friend of the show, and we got down to the last team, and this time it was me who was the last one alive in a 1v1, and I ended up losing. So we did not get the win, but we were close on that one. But yeah, it's been very fun. I don't know if I'm turning a corner on the whole Battle Royale thing, because famously I've been sort of back and forth on whether I'm into it or not, and more often than not, I can enjoy them for a short while, and then I sort of bounce off of them. But I don't know. I'm into it this time. It does help that like we're playing together, so that's part of it. But
yeah, I try to put in a couple hours. Not a couple hours. I play at least an hour, maybe every day. I didn't. Yesterday was actually the first time I hadn't played at all in a day because I was just so busy doing stuff. Yeah. But I feel like I'm not terrible at it, which is gratifying.
It's true. I just really like their movement and shooting feels really good.
Yeah.
And the ping system is very good as well.
Which it's they like invented. There was no, like, before them, no Battle Royale had a ping system. And now you can do that in every Battle Royale.
Yeah. They just, like, sort of solved that problem of communication when you don't want to be, like, on a headset with people.
So, I think it also helps that they make you drop with two other people every time, regardless of if you're, like, talking to them. Like, always being in a group, because that was the thing that I think maybe turned me off of PUBG a little bit, is when I wasn't playing with my friends, I would drop solo and I would just like either immediately die or I would be around for a while, not encounter anyone, and then die immediately. Whereas this one, like being with two other people forces you sometimes to get into engagements, and also you always have people who are helping you out. So
yeah,
and it's a great system. The pinging system is great. You can even like, I've started doing a thing where if you hold the ping button down, you can say different things. And a person I was playing with was doing this, and I realized it was a good idea, where if I hear in a direction enemies, but I don't see any, if you hold it down, there's an option to say, I've heard something that way. And so I did that, and it felt very useful to the team.
Yeah.
But it's great. It's got so many quality of life things, I feel like, that others don't. And I'm loving it. We're on the precipice of that. I talked about this, I think, last week or the week before, but I don't know what a collection event is, but it's some kind of thing where you are able to maybe get more cosmetic skins and stuff. And there's a collection event that's happening called Uprising that I believe is happening pretty soon. It's going to happen, I think, at the end of November or early December. So I'm excited for that. But yeah, it's been really fun.
Otherwise, I did also roll credits on Super Mario Brothers Wonder.
Whoa.
There's like more levels out there I think I can find and play. And obviously you can go back through and try to collect everything in each of the levels, which I have not done. But, yeah, it's a fun game. It gets challenging at times for sure, but it's also just like really fun. And the badge system gives you a lot of different, ways to sort of play it. But, I really like the sort of unofficial online co-op of the game.
Yeah,
because it becomes so helpful, especially on like harder levels where you might like fall a lot or die in some way, to just like have either one of those standees to go back to, but also just like another online player can just like tag you and revive you.
Res you, yeah.
And I have had so many moments in that game where, like, I end up just, like, basically playing with one of the other people who's running around in the level. And we're just, like, we'll wait for each other to, like, just make sure that they made it through the next section. And then I'll jump through and wait for them. And then they'll jump through the next section and wait for me. And it becomes this, like, weird little co-op thing that I'm playing with just some random person that I don't know and will not play I won't even see him in the next level, but like for that one level we're just like co-op buddies, and we're like, all right, we're gonna make sure that we get through this. And it's very fun for that, and you can like do the little emoji to have like a smiley face at the end of the level together. It's a great time. So I've decided that it is not a fun co-op game locally, just because of how they handle like the camera movement. Because they basically give one player control of the camera. And so you have to move at that person's pace. And if you're struggling to get over something or you're not keeping up with them, you just like die basically. And so it doesn't handle that very well. Whereas the online stuff, it doesn't matter because they're just a ghost and they have control of their own camera and you have control of your own camera.
So they can go off screen at times.
Exactly. So you can get out ahead of them and it's not going to ruin the game for them because they can't see where they're going. So I've decided it is much more fun. If you do play a local like couch co-op, you can do that and have a fun time with it, but you have to like pace yourself. You have to like make a conscious effort of trying to not get ahead of the other person.
Yeah.
And as long as you're doing that, which is easier to manage, obviously, if you have just two people. But once you get to like three and four player, it just becomes chaos and it's impossible to manage that. So I've decided it's much more fun to play single player with your online co-op buddies that you encounter randomly. But also this last week, I started watching some Bond movies. Like I watched GoldenEye and Tomorrow Never Dies. And I think one of the Roger Moore ones as well. Just I don't know what it is. I think it's when I was growing up, when you and I were in like high school, every year on Spike TV and AMC, they would have holiday Bond-a-thons. And it was just basically 24 hours nonstop back-to-back Bond movies.
I remember that.
And so they're not holiday movies, but I associate them with like Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's because during that time, you could always turn the TV on and it would be a Bond movie that would be on. And so I realized in watching some of these, I was like, you know what? We had these on nonstop, but I don't know if I ever actually sat down and like paid attention to the plot and what was happening. And they are wild. Like a lot of them are so insane and don't make any sense. Like we realized, and the world is not enough. Like the bad guy has a bullet in his head that is somehow still moving.
Yeah.
And it's just, and he can't feel pain. And like we didn't watch Die Another Day because that's like maybe the worst Bond movie ever made.
That's but where he goes to that ice hotel, right?
Yeah, that movie's insane.
Yeah.
It's so bad. But like they really like went over the top for that one because I think Bond is like captured and being tortured for like over 10 years at the beginning of that movie.
Insane.
And he has a car that can turn invisible and also like has little spikes that come out of the tire so he can like go up the side of an ice wall and it'll just stay there. And
doesn't he do a really weird fencing match in that one?
Oh yeah, there's fencing that happens in that. And there's
I remember feeling bad for Pierce Brosnan because like he did not look great in that fencing.
Yeah, he did not. Also, that was like the first one where you go, oh, he's definitely too old to still be playing this character. But also like the henchman of that movie just has like diamonds stuck in his face.
Yes. And
evidently you can't remove them even though seems like you should be able to remove them. And like the main bad guy is also like a South Korean dude who had plastic surgery to look Caucasian. Like it is wild and insane and stupid. And for so many reasons, that movie definitely was the death of James Bond for a long time until they finally came back with Daniel Craig and he did Casino Royale, which
a great movie,
maybe one of the best ones they ever made. But I have to say the reason for that is because it's based on an Ian Fleming novel and it was directed by the same guy who directed GoldenEye. So
really, I didn't know that.
So GoldenEye and Casino Royale, two of the best Bond movies ever made. And they follow a similar track, in my opinion. Maybe this is not a popular opinion, but Pierce Brosnan, great with GoldenEye. Tomorrow Never Dies, a step down, but also still pretty good. And then it just like kind of drops off for World Is Not Enough. It falls off a cliff for Die Another Day.
Yeah.
And I think similar track for the Casino Royale, or not Casino Royale, Daniel Craig ones.
I agree with that.
High note with Casino Royale. Steep drop off after that, just like continue downward after that. So unfortunately, that's kind of the nature of the Bond movies. I don't know what happens to them, but they fall off a cliff. Mm. And the Daniel Craig ones were like weird in that they were like trying to copy whatever was popular at the time in action movies. Like Quantum of Solace is basically a Bourne movie with the quick cutting, fast action. Like it makes you sick to look at the screen while things are happening because it's so wild. And then Skyfall is basically a Christopher Nolan Batman movie. Yeah. And then I don't know what you would call the next two, but they were just bad.
I didn't watch them.
They're not good. Well, so I didn't watch the last one, but I did hear what happens and it sounds bad. but the one before that with Christoph Waltz is just nonsense. It's so bad. And he's like, they do that thing that you see a lot of these days in Hollywood where clearly they didn't map it out and they didn't have a plan for this, but they try to make it sound like they did later on, where Christoph Waltz is like, you know what? The whole time it was me. I was directing all of this in the background. You go, no, you weren't. The writers didn't plan that out. You can't fool me. I'm not stupid. But I don't know. That's the track of Bond movies lately. But you go back and watch some of those old ones too, because there's so much of them that I like don't remember. But they are also wild and crazy and over the top. But there's some classic ones that are definitely worth revisiting. So anyway, that's what I've been watching lately. What about you?
I watched the series finale of Attack on Titan this past week.
Oh, is that still going?
It ended. It was a long time. And this last season really, really stretched out. It was originally going to be two parts, and then the second part was going to be two parts, and then that second part of that second part was two parts. But this final thing, it was basically a movie. It was like an hour and 40 minutes long or something. And it was great. It ended the series very satisfyingly. The animation was wonderful, had some great moments in it. Not a super happy ending, but it was still pretty cool. And the post-credit scene also was very interesting and leaves a lot to speculate on. But it's now 100% done. So if you've never seen Attack on Titan, now's the time to hop in. You can watch it all. It's going to take you a while, but you can watch it all the way through. I think it's a great work of art. It's wholly like there is a big twist sort of in the middle of it. That happens, that's great and pays off really well, and then there's a couple more twists, and then the ending is just like very good and satisfying. It's all great, I have to say. It's a wonderful show that I love, and it's over now, so it's no longer happening. But yeah, check out Attack on Titan.
Yeah, I need to get back to that. I forget where I fell off, but I made it past that one initial like shocking thing that you told me to watch. Mm-hmm. And then I don't remember where I probably fell off a couple episodes after that just because other things got in the way, but I should get back to that and finish it.
But that's pretty much it. Just that and playing a bunch of Apex.
I'm curious what your parting wisdom will be this week. Will it, for a third week in a row, be play Apex Legends?
You know what it is this week? It is that I will shift it over to Attack on Titan because, well, just anime in general is great, and you should check it out. It's... at this point, everyone knows anime is great, but, you know,
but in case you don't, or you didn't,
it's check great out anime medium. So check that out.
And on that note, we will catch you on the next one.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.